During President Obama's State of the Union address last night, he talked about the Arab Spring and the ongoing changes in the Middle East. And then he issued a warning to one country in particular.
We'll keep the pressure on a Syrian regime that has murdered its own people and support opposition leaders that respect the rights of every Syrian.
One of those opposition leaders lives here in Michigan. The Syrian Americans in Michigan who are opposed to President Bashar Assad's regime are playing a key role in relief work in Syria and international efforts to end the Assad rule. Three groups have formed in Michigan in the last 2 years: the Syrian Sunrise Foundation in Franklin, the Syrian Expatriates Organization in Farmington Hills, now based in Washington, D.C., and United for a Free Syria in Flint. Muna Jandi is an immigration lawyer in Flint. She's president of United for a Free Syria and recently became a member of the General Secretariat. That's the leadership group of the Syrian National Council, the main opposition group. Muna Jandi joins us now. Now, first, I want to ask you about the Syrian community in Michigan. A few months ago, I was in a Dearborn barbershop and talking to locals and ended up hearing from some pretty agitated guys who were calling media coverage of the Syrian conflict completely biased against the Assad government. It seems there's some disagreement within the Syrian community in Michigan about what's happening in Syria. So what's your take on that?
I think that there is still a population that supports the Assad regime within Syria and from without, even here in the United States. And, you know, I think that they look at it from the perspective of that what we know is better than that which we don't know. So the unknown of what's coming next, they basically, I think, err on the side of supporting something that they think is potentially less harmful than what would come next. Now, the reality, too, is that a lot of people view him as somebody who could have been a reformer, and that he potentially didn't have the opportunity to do the reforms that were needed, and that that could have been a better route. Now, of course, you know, my perspective is that he had the opportunity. He was president for 11 years, and even when the revolution began, he had that opportunity. And initially, people were calling for the reform of the regime before, you know, the killing started, and then they started calling for the fall of the regime. So I think that he's not the reformer that people still think that he could be.
The leadership of Syria's main opposition group in exile is an all-male affair. Elections failed to put even one woman on the General Secretariat, the leadership group within the Syrian National Council. You're a delegate on the council. What do you feel your role is in paving a path for women to leadership in Syrian opposition?
Well, I'll say a couple of things. One is I think that it's a disservice to say that it was just women who lost out in the elections. The way that the election process worked, there were actually some key individuals. The president himself of the Syrian National Council now, George Sabra, was not elected in those last elections. The now named ambassador, Dr. Munzer Mahos, in France, he was not elected either. And so there was a process when they looked after the elections. They said, okay, we've missed out some key people, and we've definitely missed out on the women. And so then there was an attempt from the General Secretariat to say, okay, let's now elect some people that we think are key people that need to be involved. So women in the opposition, I would say, there's twofold. One is women in the revolution. Those of us on the outside that are in the political opposition or trying to support the revolution on the outside, women in particular, and, you know, the population in general, we're just helpers, you know. The real key are those in the revolution on the ground. And women have been involved from the get-go. You know, women participated in the protests initially. Women, you know, there's several women that have that were key in organizing protests. There's women who joined the Free Syrian Army. There's women in the political opposition. So women have been there since the beginning of the revolution.
So help me understand this. This exclusion of women from the General Secretariat, is this a matter of politics only or culture, a little of both? What's going on here?
I would say it's probably a little bit of both. But as a Syrian American, I know Syrian culture, and Syrian culture isn't like that about women. It's not an Afghanistan type of ideology at all. So I really think that they, you know, they immediately recognize it. And I actually, to be honest with you, was of the opinion that that's democracy. You know, if we didn't look at the process of the elections and who was on the slates, and we didn't promote women or key individuals, then I was of the position, let democracy take its toll. And it was actually the men, many of the men, that were saying, no, you know, that's unacceptable. And it wasn't that's unacceptable because the world is watching us. That's unacceptable because it's not a reflection of the reality of the revolution.
These are men within the General Secretariat or within the larger delegation?
Within the larger delegation and within the General Secretariat. So I don't feel like it was this, oh, you know, here, let's scramble and put them in and then shove them in a corner, you know, just so we can say that we have women. They did elect, the General Secretariat elected women. They decided that they wanted to have some women representation. So they said that we will elect three women. And I was one of the three that was elected to the General Secretariat.
So do you have a true voice? I mean, it's three out of what, 43
Correct.
Members?
I do have a voice. We have monthly meetings. We have email and Skype meetings. I believe that I'm heard and I don't see that I'm being heard, honestly, on any unequal level. You know, I think it's all about me asserting myself and not being intimidated by the fact that I'm in a room full of 40 other men, you know, and that I'm one of just, you know, three women. So I feel like I have to be more assertive in saying that I have to speak up sort of on behalf of my Syrian sisters.
Is there an awareness on your part that, you know, you're something of a role model for the opposition who are in exile and those who are in country fighting the battle? You're the role model for the women.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that I'm really that much of a role model. I mean, the women on the inside, the women that are, you know, actively involved in the day-to-day revolution, they're the ones that are really sacrificing. Those of us on the outside, it's really a support. But I do recognize that this is the beginning. And if we're looking for the beginning of a new free and democratic Syria, then women need to be on the political table as well. So part of my decision when I was approached by some of my male counterparts and said, you know, listen, we want to nominate you for this position, I did take that into consideration, I'll be honest, because I think that there are other qualified, equally or more qualified women. But I thought to myself that I don't want to say no and then nobody else step up. And then this be a beginning of a bad trend politically for a new Syria.
It seems every day we hear of new atrocities in Syria. I think the death toll is estimated at something like 60,000 Syrians.
That's
right
correct.
Now. What would you like to see from the U.S. or Syria's neighbors or the United Nations? What should they do now?
I would like them to agree to a plan to end this regime. It's really just to me, I'm trying to wrap my mind around. We are in the 21st century, and a dictator is killing. And I mean, the deaths are one thing. I'll be honest, the 60,000. There's 160,000 missing. There's 700,000 refugees. There's over 4 million internally displaced. This is the 21st century. How come the world isn't taking a stronger position to make this stop? I mean, it's not like we're just starting. This is, you know, it'll be 2 years next month that this began. So I feel that we're not taking a strong position. And I think that the U.S., despite the fact that we don't want to intervene in international issues as often, we are leaders. And we cannot deny that we are the superpower. And with that superpower status comes responsibility, and I don't think that we're living up to that responsibility.
Muna Jandi is president of the organization United for a Free Syria here in Michigan. She's also a member of the General Secretariat, the leadership group of the Syrian National Council, the main opposition group against the Assad regime. Thanks for talking with us about what's going on.
Thank you, Lester.
Here at Stateside, we want to connect with you. You can find us online at michiganradio.org, on Facebook, just search for Stateside with Cynthia Canty, and on Twitter, at Stateside Radio. You can offer up your comments, you can suggest a story, maybe you've got somebody in mind you'd like to see profiled on Stateside. Just contact us and let us know. Coming up, a teacher weighs in on what it takes to be a good educator, and dog sledding in Michigan. Get ready for the UP 200. That story coming up at 15 minutes. This is Stateside.